Welcome back. 418, 730 AM, 102.9 FM, WTNT. Andy Parks live from the Washington Times. And on this Monday afternoon, I'm joined now by Washington Times political editor, Stephen Dinan. Hello, Stephen.
Hello, Andy.
Lots to talk to you about today, my friend. Obama missed another budget deadline, eh?
Yeah, this one is, it's the fourth time in 5 years that he's missed this one. The Budget Act requires that that the president submits his budget to Congress on essentially by the first Monday in February, which of course is today.
Right.
And for the fourth time in 5 years, he has missed that deadline. That's more than the three previous presidents combined, or equal to the three previous presidents combined, and it's a lot of it's because we keep bumping from solution to solution and pushing up against other deadlines. For example, the fiscal cliff, which in this case is actually what Obama's blaming. He said, "Oh no, it came so the fiscal cliff deal came so late that we didn't have time to figure out what the tax rates would be and what our revenue would be and be able to figure out a whole budget." So that's why they're saying it's delayed this time. But overall, it's one of these things where Republicans say, "Look, how serious are you? If you can't even make a deadline for getting a budget done, and the Senate Democrats haven't even passed a budget in 4 years, why should the American people believe that you guys are even serious about budgeting?"
Yeah, I noticed that John Boehner talked a little bit about that today. So I guess he's made his point.
So here's the thing, is that this all comes at a time when just last week Republicans forced Democrats in the Senate to pass the No Budget, No Pay Act, punishing them. Later on today, a House committee will take up a bill and then put it on the floor here, put it on the floor that would actually it would actually require that the president submit not just a budget, but submit a balanced budget to Congress. And if he doesn't submit a balanced budget, a budget showing balance within the first 10 years, he's actually required, under this bill, he would be required to go back and take a do-over until he actually can say what year the budget would be in balance. So this is the sort of thing Republicans really sense an opening here. They gave up on holding the debt hostage, but they think they actually struck a nerve with voters by the no budget, no pay, and are basically trying to come up with something similar to bash the president over the head at a time when he obviously doesn't have a budget and is breaking the deadline.
Mm-hmm. All right, I'm going to turn to immigration. I just played a soundbite a few minutes ago of Harry Reid on ABC's This Week talking about the fact that the Senate will do something, definitely going to do something on immigration. He can't speak for the House, but he said those big bad Republicans, they better do it. But he has taken a different strategy this time around for getting an agreement on immigration, right? He's going to go through the regular Senate process and not do anything crazy.
Yeah, and I know this is arcane procedural stuff, but it's in this issue, it's huge for him to have done that. I've watched three of these fights, two big fights in 2006 and 2007, and then a couple of smaller skirmishes over the last decade on immigration. And in 2006 and 2007, Harry Reid actually was blamed for blowing up the bill through procedural tactics in both times around. 2007, he was majority leader. 2006, he was minority leader, so 2007 being maybe even a bigger blow-up, but so much so that the New York Times editorial page and immigrant rights groups were blaming Reid, saying, "Look, no, you can't control the process like this. The reason it failed is because you kept too tight a leash on it. You go back and you start over." And Reid, back then, after a month or so, he relented and did come back and tried to start over, but still kept a tight leash. He would... he actually restricted the total number of amendments and chose which amendments would be allowed to be voted on, and it was such a bad process that in the end, a majority of the Senate, a majority of them, including 16 Democrats, voted to filibuster the bill. That's what defeated it in 2007. It was the process that Reid used. It was also the fact that Americans flooded the Senate switchboard with phone calls, mm-hmm, saying, "Don't pass this bill." But the process was a real problem. So all that's a very long way of saying that this time around, around. Reed says he's learned from the past. He's learned from that bad time 6 years ago. He's going to let the bill go through the Judiciary Committee, where it will be marked up with probably a couple weeks worth of amendment process, and then bring it to the floor where he will have a full amendment process. I don't know that I really believe that it's going to be full. We'll have to sort of wait and see, because he's made these vows before, and then has said, well, by full I only meant 10 amendments, or I only meant 20 amendments, rather than 40 or 50 that you might see in a real debate.
Mm-hmm.
But either way, it's a major change for him. It shows that he has learned part of the problem that he had in the past, and it sets up what should be a really, really interesting fight on the floor.
All right, but back in 2007, did he have the groundwork already presented like we do now, where we have eight people that have come together to give us the basic outline?
Sort of. Back then, it was Senator Jeff Sessions called them the Masters of the Universe, and kept talking about the grand bargain that they foisted on the Senate. Back then, it was Ted Kennedy and Senator John Kyle, the Arizona Republican, who struck this big deal. And there were folks like Obama was actually part of those discussions for a while. Bob Menendez, who's in the current agreement. You had John McCain and Lindsey Graham from the Republican side, who were sort of involved in those discussions. You had Senator Mel Martinez, former Senator Mel Martinez, a Hispanic Republican from Florida, who's Marco Rubio now sits in that seat.
Right.
You did have a group of people who got together and wrote a framework, then wrote a bill, and in particular decided that they would defend that bill against all other amendments. This was part of the procedural problem that happened last time, is that rather than actually say, okay, we're going to really let the Senate rewrite this bill through the amendment process, they said, no, we've constructed an agreement, we have to defend it, we're not going to let any amendments pass. And so they went and they tried to defeat all amendments, even ones that they would individually have wanted to have voted for. All of that for the sake of preserving this grand bargain. And that's the other lesson from 2007, is that, okay, Masters of the Universe can write a bill, but they can't force that bill through the Senate. The Senate has to be allowed to amend it and change it in the way that a majority of senators want.
Mm-hmm. Okay. All right, we'll take you to one final thing, and that's this story you posted just a little while ago at WashingtonTimes.com dealing with the Treasury nominee Jack Lew. He's been accused of breaking Medicare laws by Republicans?
Yeah, so this is sort of in the lines of the budget situation. There's actually a part of the law that if the Medicare trustees issue a funding warning, which is that the program's finances are in imbalance, then the president is required to submit a plan for bringing those funds back into balance. Congress doesn't necessarily have to act on it, but the president's required to submit that plan. And President George W. Bush actually followed the law and submitted that plan during his administration. Obama has, I guess there have been, all 4 years he's been in office, there have been funding warnings from the trustees, and Obama has never in those 4 years submitted the required plan to bring things back into balance. Jack Lew, who was first as OMB director and then as chief of staff, was actually OMB director, that's budget office director, for at least two of those years when the president did not submit a report. And so the Senate Republicans now say, well, he may have been complicit in breaking that law, and they want to know what his involvement was before they agreed to let him become Treasury Secretary, which is the position that Obama has now nominated him for.
Mm-hmm. So today we learn that President Obama missed another deadline, and we also learned that his nominee for Treasury is accused of not paying attention to the law as well.
Yeah. Now, having said that, one final thing, nobody pays attention to deadlines up here. Congress itself hasn't actually passed its budget in 4 years. And for that matter, I break most of my deadlines for filing my stories, too. So we're all on the same page.
All right. Very good. Thanks, Stephen.
My pleasure.
See you. Stephen Dinan, Washington Times political editor. 427, 730 a.m., 102.9 FM, WTNT. It's Andy Parks live from the Washington Times.